This is Bianca Steel Talk Show. You're listening to Mr. Nas and Diamond Z. The Unconcealed Talk Show.
Real talk.
Don't let nobody deter you from your vision. It's your vision that you want.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show.
You ready? No, I got it.
You know what? People like realness. They can speak through when anybody is not being themselves.
The Unconcealed Talk Show.
Use your platform wisely because it's going to be a reflection of who you are and those around you.
It's unapologetic. I can only speak from my own experience. I can't speak from anybody else's.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show.
They're going to remember how you came in and how you left. A lot of times that applies to regular life and business.
The Unconcealed Talk Show.
From a real life perspective. And don't just be you. Either people won't like it or they won't. And even the people that don't like it are still going to check it out. Because I'm telling you, that's the people that follow me. They only like my ass. But that's okay. Keep following me. You know.
You're listening to one of New York's top syndicated shows, The Unconcealed Talk Show, featuring Mr. Nas and Diamond D.
Yes, yes. Welcome everyone to the Unconcealed Talk Show with yours truly, Mr. Nas, and of course, the one and only Miss Diamond G. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon to everybody listening.
Hey, all of that stuff, evening, morning, afternoon, nighttime.
Exactly.
Well,
twilight,
whatever
you're doing.
Right? Yo, I ate a cupcake last night. I was in the twilight zone. You don't know? All right, I'm going to save you a cupcake.
All right, first of all, what's in the damn cupcake? What's in the cupcake?
I can't tell you.
See, you know what? I be sitting eating a cupcake, start running outside butt naked with some Timberlands on.
Listen. I will not be responsible for how you behave after the cupcake. I slept good. I was nice. I feel good this morning.
You know what? Wait a minute.
I feel great, despite my raspy voice. Y'all, he told me I sound like a man this morning. I'm not even letting him talk. He was like, oh, your voice is deeper than mine.
Wow.
My voice is always deep. But when you have me up at the crack of dawn, and first I have to have my coffee, then I have to have my hot tea with sea moss and lemon, and I'm just now getting to my tea. So pardon the masculinity in my voice this morning. Okay, Mr. Matt? Okay.
Mm-mm, no excuses.
Your voice,
you need to guard your stuff before you get out.
Come
on the show.
Voice. I've always,
no.
From the sixth grade, I remember, like, I've been told my voice is sexy. I'm not, that's me with all of that. I'm not be. Anyway, how are you?
Oh, God. I'm good. I mean, I just thought, no. I want to say nothing, you know, about this shit. Say about deep voice women.
What about deep
voice
women?
Like a woman.
Tell us.
No, nothing.
No,
I'm not going there. I don't.
You told me earlier
outside
I sound
of my
like
door.
A man.
No, that was this morning. But listen, moving forward, my week was fine so far. I mean, my week was fine. A lot of positive energy as far as people following this show. We're a solid month back in this game. The momentum is picking up again.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to know people's reconnected with us, just to know that we are not only going to bring the audio version of the podcast, which of course reaches a lot of people throughout the United States and abroad, just to know that we're going to be soon bringing you guys the video with it as well. So we're going to cover both aspects of it. But, you know, with business, you want to show a level of consistency. You want to show that you're on top of the game. So not only the audio, we're going to bring the visual to you soon. That's our goal for next month. So that's what we're moving to at this point. We're bring on
awesome.
The film.
I'm excited.
Video and audio.
I got to put on makeup and stuff. All right, I'm with it. You know, I love to see, I love visuals. I'm attention deficit. I suffer from it. And that's not to take it lightly. I just realized that I have a very short attention span. In video. I love video. I love to see people, and I think people would love to see us. I miss the days when we used to, and maybe one day we'll do, I'm just throwing this out there for you, Mr. Nas, so maybe one day we can do a special show where we invite people in and do it virtually on a platform where, you know, people could just, we can see the audience and they can see us. We'll talk about it offline.
I think it's phenomenal. Have an interactive where they can chime in with us, we chime in with you. Yeah, we could definitely move that way. I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. I think it's an awesome
idea.
You
know, it doesn't have to be all the time. But, and y'all, we are so unplugged and unrehearsed. So a lot of times we do have these conversations on air. Like, so let's do this next time. But we're family. We're all family here. You're our family. So we appreciate you riding with us. I agree. The show, Mr. Nags, if I may, by paying respect
no,
to
always.
Mr.
That's always
Tyson.
By
oh,
all
thank
means,
you.
We have to.
Definitely want to pay respect to Mrs. Lee Tyson. She passed away this past Thursday at the age of 96, and she lived a wonderfully blessed life. So I say we want to celebrate her, and those closest to her will mourn her loss, mourn the loss of her, right? They're going to miss her in the physical presence. But I'm just grateful for what she's done over the years. And I remember my first memory of Cicely Tyson was Miss Jane Pittman, and that was the autobiography of a slave, right? So y'all remember that. I'm dating myself, but that goes back to the 70s. And I used to love to watch the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman, and I never realized until I was older, an older child, that, oh, Cicely Tyson is not really Miss Jane Pittman. I didn't know. I just thought, I was smart but dumb. but I love that movie. As I think back, I'm like, wow, I've always been interested in history and the struggles of our people. And Miss Jane Pittman was the story of the struggle seen through a woman. I think she was 110 years old, and Cicely Tyson won 2 Emmys for that. But more importantly than my memory, what she stood for, and Cicely Tyson refused to ever take a role that was demeaning to African-American women. So she never played a maid. She refused to play maid. She refused to play anything that was a stereotype. I commend her and I respect her and honor her for even that part of her life. She refused to take any role that was demeaning to black women. So on today, we celebrate Miss Cicely Tyson, 96 years, and she looks
phenomenal.
Beautiful.
Phenomenal.
She
phenomenal.
She carried herself with such grace and elegance, and you know, I just aspire to just be a little bit like her, just a little bit, you know, especially that.
I had the pleasure of meeting Miss Tyson at Cicely Tyson's school when actually the earlier stages when they came to school. She came. She
East Orange, New Jersey. Everybody.
Yes, correct. Right, performance arts school. She was just phenomenal in how she interacted with the staff. She came to pretty much almost every graduation. But when she talked to the young people, you could tell that she had a vested interest in their well-being. Mm. She expected our young men to have your pants up, talk correctly. You had to come correct to her. And she had no problem telling you about yourself, whether you're a teacher or you're a student. But she just a phenomenal woman. I wish I had more time to talk with her. We invited her to a couple of our own personal scouting events, you know, with our young men. But she was, even at 96, she was so busy. I mean, she was getting ongoing open casting for movies and shows. And this week, her last interview was on Kelly and Ryan. And you know, if you haven't watched, please go to it. And it was this week. And she passed me on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. This woman, if you want to see excellence, you want to see a queen, you want to check out, go to YouTube, check out that interview with her and Kelly and Ryan. You know, Ryan, it was a great interview. And it's the way she just articulates and talk about her family, how she grew up, how her mother held her accountable, how her family values. These things that our age and younger and older can aspire to. So, again, I'm with you on this, Diamond. I salute her, hands in the air. Salute the legend, definitely.
Do me a favor, Naz, if you will. if you can take that YouTube video that you just spoke about and share that
on
the
website. Yeah, I'll put it on our social media.
Yeah, on the site and on the social media. Thank you. And
absolutely.
Follow us,
no,
everybody.
Definitely.
Make sure you follow us, Shadow Worlds Radio, The Diamond D Show, and Unconcealed Talk Show. So when you look up Unconcealed Talk Show, drop the Unconcealed. Just check out Unconcealed Talk Show. Follow us on all social media platforms.
Yeah, we're there. Oh, I got to give a special shout out. I got reached out by a couple of, you know, I didn't realize it. I have a friend who reached out to me. Apparently, shout out to Ohio. They're on a check-in. Wisconsin definitely is on a check-in. So, you know, we really appreciate people taking the time to contact us. So special shout out to Rebirth Public Relations and Media. They've been going hard for us. They've been supporting us. They've been going really hard. Simone, much love to you, definitely.
Happy Lucy birthday. Bones, I know Simone. I hope I didn't miss it.
It's a birthday?
Simone's
birthday.
I don't think it's today, but it's soon. I'm looking it up right now. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, oh, well, we got to find out. We got to reach out to her.
Yeah.
I mean, we missed her birthday. Shame on us. Damn it. That's
no,
what,
I don't
that's
think
what
she missed it yet. She ain't close.
Then exactly. But also, just kind of bring on a roll call, there's a group of young ladies named Duchess Tanae. One is out of Iowa. Other one is out of Louisiana as well. They have a show come up, The Pretty Grinders. They also part of the family, and they are followers of the show. So they say, look, we're part of the family. We're supporting. So I want to give them a special shout out and for supporting us, as we will support them as well. So, you know, this thing gets bigger, Diamond. You know, it's getting bigger. Our mission and our vision was just not to be just a regional area for New York and Jersey.
Correct.
We want to be informative. We wanted to be empowering, not just to our region, because we understand the world is a lot bigger. And people, when you do things in life, you got to think out the box. It's amazing when you leave out that comfort zone, you leave out that area you've been shielded by. There's amazing, so much diversity, different people and different things. You know, you become more empowered and more informed by people outside of your regular region. For those who live in black communities, there's a world outside of that. There's some great people, great Caucasian people. There's some great people on different islands. I have a friend or a classmate in Hawaii that I talked to. She's following the show. Shout out to Aniko. Thank you for following the show, of course. You know, don't worry, I'm sending you a shirt. Don't worry about it. I got you. So it's just so much that when you come out your zone, how much people embrace you and how you're more known on a larger scale. And that's what you should be inspired to do, you know, and that leads to the show as a segue. If you know better, you do better. And that's just one of the things you want to do for yourself and your life. You know, think outside the box. Don't think what you're doing is just enough and you're getting mad at the world saying, you know what, why can't I get ahead? Why can't I do that? And I keep doing this, I keep doing that. Well, damn it, maybe you need to change up what you're doing. Maybe what you're doing is not working. That can go to relationships, that can go to jobs. If you're looking for a job, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get a job. A lot of times, interviewers, companies, and whether government, whether private, they want to know, is it a career you want? They don't want to just hire you to say, you know what, you'll be replaced maybe next week, or you're not going to take this serious, so I'm not going to take you serious. So if you better, you do better. You just can't wish it.
Today we're going to talk about when you know better, do better. Right? But I want to read the actual quote. The quote comes from Maya Angelou. And I don't know if everybody knows that, because we take that.
No, I didn't.
We know better, do better. But the actual quote is, do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. And that's a quote from Maya Angelou. And what we've done over time is taken it out to say, when you know better, do better. But do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. So I'm stuck at the in-between. How do I learn? Where do I learn? How do I know better if I don't have any examples around me, right? So that's where Naz is like, oh, here she go again, because I got time now, right? I got time, so I'm into this. And y'all know how I am. I don't like to come into it just empty-headed. When I come into something unprepared, I'm going to tell y'all a little bit about Diamond. When I come to something unprepared, I do a lot of ums, and I don't like doing ums. So I have to better prepare. And when we talked about this, there's so many ways, there's so many angles and approaches how we can apply this to life, but I needed to know, what is that quote? Where did it come from? And I'm going to tell you all again, do the best you can until you know better. Then, when you know better, do better. Maya Angelou.
Yes.
Now, Diamond is stuck in the middle. What happens to, how do I learn? How do I get to know better? How do I get there? So, Naz, you speak of a job, and we talk about careers a lot on the show. But
yes, we do.
If I come from a family of people who have just had jobs, that's all I know. My mom changed jobs. My dad changed jobs. My family, we just had jobs, right? We may have worked at this retail store. We may have then gone over here and done a customer service call center gig and then gone over here. And there's no consistency. I don't have that example in my household to learn better. How do I do that?
Well, I have an answer for that. I do. I mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I definitely.
I'm glad because this is a serious question. Yeah.
No, absolutely. When I talk to a lot of these young people and I hear their input back, a lot of times I tell them, "Do you feel comfortable with just having a job?" They look at me. Well, what do you mean by that? Exactly. If you're asking me what I mean by that, then you're not comfortable. If you're seeing people struggle, you see your mom or your dad or your cousins or your brothers or your sisters, older or whatever, just going to a job. And they don't have a sense of fulfillment. It becomes a paycheck. They're not happy. Pay attention to that. Is that what you want for yourself? Do you feel comfortable with that? Would you feel more comfortable having a job that you enjoy going to every day? Would you feel comfortable with this job, like this opportunity for you to grow? You see the growth. It's more of a feeling. If it gives you a sense of inspiration, gives you a sense of determination to want to do more, learn more, that job, say, this job I have right here, is it for me? Do I feel comfortable doing this job? You know, I think I can do more. I expect more of myself. So I guess it's more of an individual feeling as you get older. You're looking at other people's examples, how they deal with their jobs, see, are they happy with it? Are they just working? Are they complaining about their job every day? If they're complaining about their job, mm-hmm. I mean, of course we complain. we complain, but me and you will say it hands down, I'm grateful to have my job. I'm appreciative
right.
for where I'm at. I'm appreciative where I can go. That's when you know that you're in a career. That's when you understand, you know what, this is not a job, this is a career. And it does not necessarily mean that, okay, I'm in this career, that you can't change careers. I've seen people go to school and major for accounting and do something else. And they found, you know what, I'm better at this other career, but that accounting skill that I got, I can still apply that. But then they in that career, they may get offered another position in accounting. So now they went, say, into an operational field outside of accounting. But then they went back to accounting, which they originally loved, but now they combined that skill. So basically, you're taking two careers and you're adding to one. And that's what employers look for. They look at multi-diverse employees. They look for that. And that goes far. So it's more about how you feel. It's more about, are you comfortable? What inspires you? If a job inspires you to want to do more, then that's what you need to go for. If you feel that you can do more, that's when you start to do better. And like Maya Angelou said, you know, you continue to do the best that you can until you can do better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to fall down. You're not going to know it unless you go through those emotions. And when you fail or say this job's not for you, you know, okay, this is not what I accept for myself. I don't feel comfortable here. I don't like this job. You know that. So now you can mark that off. Okay, that's not something I want to do. So when you go to a next job or next position, you know you have some foundation. You have some failures.
Self-awareness. It's self-awareness, right? So not to
exactly.
cut you off, but you're going on a tangent.
No, you're right. No, listen, we have to. But people need to learn. They have to learn.
Right. You have to learn. Self-awareness, and then once you become aware, you got to fix your own problems. You got to be your own leader. We always talk about helping somebody else out or looking mm-hmm. for help and being a leader, right? We talked about that last week, climbing mm-hmm. up the hills. But you first got to be your own leader and be careful who you look to, because sometimes the person that's willing to help you is a person that's more so looking to control you. And those are narcissistic people that sneak into our lives, right?
Ooh,
and it happens. And it can happen you know, people, I'm going to help you. But in fact, they don't want to help. They want to control you. They want to make a minivan. That's what they want, right? So you have to be careful when you're looking. You're somewhere in that middle, right? I'm doing the best I can until I know better, and I'm looking for people to help me because I don't have anybody necessarily inside my home. So I look to my friends. I look outside to leadership in the community. We just have to use discernment. And this isn't just for the youth. This is for adults. You got to use discernment when you have your leadership. It goes into the church. You know, I was listening to something the other day, and the leader of the church replaced where it said the Lord with their name. Like, come on,
Hold up. We know the name of this church. What is the name of this church?
No,
that's
I'm not
right.
saying all of that. I was
blast them.
I was
blast them.
No, it wasn't. Honestly, it wasn't a local church. It was something I was reading. I don't even remember the name of the church. It was a video that it was a combination of a devotional that I do in the morning, and then they play videos. But it was West Coast out there. I don't know the name of it. I could always go back and look, but I was just stunned. And, you know, just putting that into real life, it's like, wow, this is a leader. And he thinks because he's in the pulpit and he's the leadership of this particular church that he felt himself much more important or equal to God. Like, where are we doing that? Right? So you have to use discernment when you're learning better. And when you're in the middle, you have to use discernment in who you are looking to help you know better. Your teachers, be careful about that. Now, as I think about in the community, right? So I live dead ass in a hood, dead ass. And I look at my surroundings and I look at some of the people that are my age, and we grew up in the same neighborhood, and some of them are strung out on drugs. Some of them may not be strung out on drugs, but they're doing very bad, right? They're not thriving in life. And when I think about the family I was blessed to be placed into, to be born into, and to have mold me and nurture me, right? Because you've got nature versus nurture. And I was nurtured versus those people who didn't have that same foundation. And I just wonder, do they even know better? Were they given the opportunity to know better? Something as simple as throwing your trash on the street. I hate it. I despise it. When you drive into the suburbs, there's no trash on the street. But our people for generations just throw shit on the street. We just throw our trash as we walk down the street. Grandmama never said, or mama never said, pick that up. If I threw trash on the street when I was a kid, pick that up, get my hand popped, carry it till you get home. But because that never happened, those values weren't instilled. How do we instill basic values into our neighborhoods? How do we break the chain?
Is it more primarily
Black
communities?
Yes, I'm talking about the hoods where we come from, people of color. Black, Latino, you know, Puerto Rican, those are the areas. You know, right now, my neighborhood is 99% Black. So I'm talking about Black folks right now.
Okay, let's address that then. It's going to start from politics. If we can push that in our communities to have a cleaner environment, that's going to take our politics. It's going to take the mayors, take these councilmen. Let's clean this shit up. First of all, these abandoned buildings and stuff like that, you just let them sit there, and we're not, you know, you have the sanitation that is getting saved. Let's clean it up. Let's address that. Because when you show people, as in you're in position, running a city or whatever, or a ward, if you're showing people that you're willing to put in workers, hire those people that need jobs to help clean that community up. If you're showing that, maybe they can get inspired. Maybe say, you know what, hold up, they're cleaning up our neighborhoods. They're getting rid of these empty abandoned buildings, been vacant for years, these empty lots, they're cleaning it up. They have more police vigilance out walking around. They're hiring people that works in the community. Maybe put some more marketing campaigns about let's keep our area clean instead of putting all these campaigns about the next vote for me. You know, come on, you got to be part of it. You know, it's not more about what.
How about
you know,
putting a goddamn garbage can on a corner? Like,
well, you know what? How about that? You know what? I agree with you on that.
I'm gonna start with the basics. I agree with everything that you said,
but there's no garbage
cans on a corner anymore.
And you know what? Let's think about that. And I understand about the terrorist thing, they put pipe bombs and all other shit in there.
That's,
but when you go to certain other well-to-do communities, they have garbage cans. They have it, you know, located in different areas. They have signs, and please dispose of your dog waste. And they have the little bags to pick up your
and
dog
they
waste.
And they enforce it.
Exactly.
And they enforce it. I go for walks in neighborhoods and trails, and there's this one particular trail in Cranford. They got garbage bags all
on
along
the trail.
All along the trails. I don't know who puts them there, but they garbage bags because somebody in the community or the city decided, you know what, this is a long path, and people are drinking water and they're doing whatever, and we don't want them to just throw their stuff down on the ground. So we place these, I'm dead ass serious, garbage bags tied onto a tree, and people just put their garbage there. Let's start at the basis. Give us our damn garbage cans back. And we've got more people that are walking the streets. So when we talk about the suburbs and the trash isn't there, they don't have people walking the streets and taking public transportation. Most of those people are in cars. And now I've seen some people cars that live in the suburbs. The shits are nasty. I would never get into them. So it may be the same, you know. So let's think about the reasons why this is happening. You pulled up to work before, and your friend that lives up in Chatham Park next to you, you're looking at cars nasty as hell, straight up. Car's dirty,
you
filthy, trash from the whole week, trash from McDonald's, Arby's, chicken, Popeyes. You've seen it. Dirty diapers from the kids, and you just like, ooh. And that reminds you not to eat at the office potluck. But nonetheless...
Oh my God!
We don't equip, and we went off on a tangent, but it's about knowing better, right? And we all need an example, and I'm so blessed because God placed me in the family that He did, so I have examples. But a lot of time, man, people don't have it, and I'm stuck there outside of work. I'm stuck outside of not even getting to the relationships yet. Y'all know I'm going to go there. But now as I'm stuck on the basics of life. I'm stuck on the basics of pull your pants up. How these young men going to know better? Because the minute you pull their pants up, most of y'all ain't in a community trying to help these kids know better. Y'all have made it. Not you necessarily, but a lot of men who need to be helping these young men know better because their fathers are locked up. They don't have an example. I ain't going down there to mess with them. Or they send money. I'm going to make my financial donation. They need to see you. They need to talk to you. Y'all need to connect with Naz and his group of men and come out here and be in front of these young men, but they're not doing that.
It's going to take more unified networks. It has to happen. We do our part on our end, but it takes people like yourself, myself, and other likewise men and women to come together, not be individualized. Well, this is my organization, or this is me. We got to get away from that shit. We got to get away from becoming selfish about our ways. We got to understand that we're all in this together. We got to work together. Because it's not going to happen overnight. You know, yeah, exactly. We just got to work to better. We got to work to better understand, okay, look, these are the problems. This was affecting our communities. We've seen our young men not carrying themselves a certain way. They're walking around, pants off their ass. They're disrespectful to their women, their parents. You know, these are not what we should be inspiring in our community. We should be working together. And stop being afraid to talk to our kid. It may not be your kid. Hey, listen, young man, put your pants up. Oh, you can't talk to my kid like that. We got to get away from that shit.
You took the words out of my mouth. People, and that's the other thing. It starts again back at home. And so we talk about the kids. We need to reach some of these young parents, right? Because you're not a child no more. You're a parent now. And maybe you didn't know better. But we going to help you. So we can't just skip over the parents to the kids because we on the outside can talk to the kids so we blue in the face. And the kids can be motivated. But when they get back and mom and dad don't want to hear it, grandma tired, she don't want to hear it. She shouldn't be raising you no way in her mind, but your mama out there doing whatever, they tired. And then that child is defeated. So we although the youth need us, we got to back up and talk to some of these parents somehow. I just don't, and I'm being real, I don't know how.
How do we young parents? Because it's sometimes you see, like, the fruit don't fall far from the tree. Like, for example, I've seen so many of our, and no disrespect, even with some of our older adults, with the parents, that you're trying to talk to them about their kid, not my kid, and you watch it and you say, you know what, I see where to get it from. The mother's disrespectful.
We need some of the teachers to talk to us about not my kid. Write that down. Naz, write that down.
Kid.
Because
I am with
not
you.
My kid. That
but
is the topic of the show.
But
and
here
that's
it is.
You know your kid is bad
further,
as hell.
But I'll take it a step further.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the United States, almost every state, I see they put social workers in position who's just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just as bad. They're sitting there, you know, I'm going to give you a prime example. I was dealing with a case, and I've seen a social worker respond to an emergency with a teenager. Let me say that. It was a teenager. She had on the tights, not the leotard. Don't talk about the tights you can see through. Had a breast thing. First of all, we got to understand, if you're in position, a professional position, we have to treat the people that we deal with, our communities, in a professional manner. But yet, I've seen that same person on another case in a suburban area, dressed professional, talking more correctly. We gotta get better than that. If we work in a position and we have power to affect lives, why should we show a difference of service and professionalism in how we treat and help our community compared to maybe a suburban or white community? We gotta get away from that. And it pisses me off.
You know what that person?
It angers me.
Go ahead.
Pisses me off. No, I'm sorry.
The social worker probably thought that they were connecting on their level. That's what they thought. They thought that they were connecting and that if I articulate this in a different way, less professional or less formal, that they'll receive me more. They'll receive what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, that's what I think they thought. However, that goes too far. You have to be able to connect, relate, but also maintain your sense of authority and professionalism.
Right.
And it's a fine balance. It's hard to do it. I do it all day, every day. And people are like, Denise is so human. That's what they say. And I'm like, what do you mean by that? And they use me as an example. And I'm not perfect, but what I am is able to relate to people. And I'm able to relate to people in their communication style. However, remind them that I'm in control of this. Okay, this is about my responsibilities right now. And we're going to work together to achieve a goal. So that social worker probably was attempting that, but hasn't honed that craft yet. It's not easy to do. But someone like you or maybe a supervisor can coach or offer other resources for them to learn. And I think that's the case person doing the best they can until they know better. So now somebody else that works with you or you need to guide them to do better. No?
But you know what?
No, listen.
I agree with you to a certain point, and I'm going to tell you why, because I've actually had this debate at work and with several other people before. Whereas, why you have to dress like that when you go out in the field? You're making us look bad. Now, mind you, this is coming from my Caucasian co-workers and even some other fellow African-American workers. Why would we sit there? We're expected to dress appropriately. I'm not saying you have to wear a tie all the time or you have to wear some long dress, but dress professional manner. Why should we show a different level of respect and integrity to people that live in the hood? Okay, you can still relate to them. Close the mouth. So when you open your mouth and you're talking to them, they're going to pick up on it. If they're from the hood and they deal with BS and drama every day, trust me, those who have grown up or live in urban areas, they deal with so many challenges. So they can pick up on BS real fast. So if you're talking, when I'm wearing a tie and I'm wearing a suit or a blazer or whatever I'm doing, when I start talking, they're like, you're cool. You're cool.
Right.
They're like, why are you wearing that? I said, you know what? Because I'm going to treat you the same way I'm going to treat the person, whether I'm going to a corporate building, whether I'm going to a suburban area. I'm going to show you that you can still be who you are, but still carry yourself with a level of dignity. Because let me tell you something,
and that's
when
the
I
balance,
especially when I talk to young people, it's about perception. I teach this, and if anybody's listening, to each his own. People, when they look at you, it's their first 2 minutes. They're gonna look you up and down. They're gonna see. They're gonna look at you. They're gonna draw their own conclusion who you are. When you open your mouth, they're gonna say, "Okay, I see you." You open your mouth. I can relate to you. That first initial perception, they're going to look at you. How you, and then as you talk, they're going to become comfortable. And how you leave, that's going to be your lasting impression that you can leave upon it. So what I try to do, I try to leave the best impression when I come through the door. They may say, you're uppity, but it's not the case. But as I talk, they say, he's relatable. And once I got them calm, the understanding, then how I leave, listen, it's good seeing you. I'm giving those young people something to look up to. I'm showing them that, look, you can be better. You don't have to walk around with your pants off your ass for me to relate to you. That's not that comes across as phony to some people in the hood. And women, you don't have to degrade yourself sitting there wearing certain clothes to try to get some
attention.
And that's
attention,
what that's
the balance
that
she
act.
Needs to. Mm,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. No,
but
it,
you know what?
And
this young lady
I
has a master's degree in college. She has a master's degree because we talk about education, and she says, "You know, we never really went over that in school." I says, "Really?
No, they don't. They don't. They don't go over that in school at all." And what I find
in college.
Is, no, they don't. Like in college. No, they don't. Maybe, I don't know. They didn't go over it when I was in college. It was something, honestly, that I learned after I entered the corporate America, and they have all of these personality tests and how do you relate to people. And a lot of people that are very well educated and they know their craft, they know their skill, they can tell you mm-hmm. everything book-wise, but then when they have to relate to people, they can't do it. And people mm. see through you. We say it
say
we say
again.
It on the intro. When you
say
read a phone,
again.
People can see through it automatically. You have to be who you are. You know, I laugh when they call me quote-unquote human at work. It's because I'm not as refined as they would probably like, but I'm successful as hell. And clients respect me. Other employees respect me. My team respect me. I just am whom I am. I crack jokes. I crack jokes, and sometimes they look at me, and I'm like, that was funny. You need to be laughing.
Exactly.
A little. You know, I'm like, that was funny. But we have got to find a balance in being relatable, but also, Naz, in the example that you use, when you have the opportunity to help somebody know better, to teach them, we got to insert it. We got
to
do it right away when they're able to receive it, you know?
But what about
and
the people that
don't
want to do it? What about those people, Diamond? You got people to say, why should that be my problem? You know what I'm saying? What about those people? What do we? How do we talk to them?
I don't know. I don't like them. I don't talk to them. I don't know. So,
oh God! Well, that's pretty simple. That's empowering.
I,
you know what? But you know what? That's an honest answer.
I don't know. It's because if they want,
but you know that's honesty. That's honesty. You just alluded to about being phony. We don't have to be phony. It's okay to say that. You know, and I'm sitting there saying, okay, should I analyze that? I said, hold up. At the end of the day, if you don't want to deal with those people, you don't have to. That's the beautiful part
right.
about
and that's,
freedom
that's
of choice.
It. That's it. All
better.
We can do is encourage. That's it. And I have tried. Nas to convince people in all sorts of aspects of life to do better, and they don't want to, so then it ain't my problem no more, right? I'm not talking to people that don't want anything out of it. It is what it is. Go be you. If you don't want to give back to the community, if you don't want to give back to the it is what it is. But for those who are interested, you know, I've learned better, and I've learned better because I've been burnt, and that's most of the time how you learn, from experience. Mm. I don't want that shit to happen to me ever again. Most learn. That's how I learn in relationships. Nah, so sometimes when y'all think Diamond is off the chain and I've learned. So when I talk about not dating broke-ass men, because I've dated broke-ass men. I ain't just come out the gate not giving people a chance. Not giving broke-ass men a chance. I've given broke-ass men a chance, and I don't like broke-ass men no more. I've learned better, so now I'm doing better. Straight up.
Wait, listen, I am with you with on that. Listen, I've done dated the crazy-ass women, you know. Listen, if she's standing over you while you sleep, get the fuck out. Real talk. Please.
when you wake up and she's just standing there looking at you, get out.
Yeah.
Right? But a lot of men, I'm about to beat y'all up.
Sorry,
you already know I am. But people don't learn from their experiences oftentimes because we like what we like, right? So
mm-hmm.
women, I'm just going to speak for the women right now. We are oftentimes attracted to a particular type of man, no matter what that type may be, but you find yourself being hurt again and again and again because you like that guy that's super fine. He's fine, right? And you know that he's popular, and you know that all of these other women want him. A lot of women want that man that every other woman wants because they feel like they've conquered. But then you get hurt because he has been a habitual cheater, but you think once he gets with you, you're going to change him, and you get hurt. And then that doesn't work out. You heal a little bit. You heal a little bit, and you move on, but you go after the same type of man. And I'm just using one example, but there's many. Then you go after the same type of man, and what happens? You get hurt again. This, you're not learning from your experiences. You're doing the same shit over and over. That's a crazy person. That's a crazy person to keep dealing with the same type of person and not learning. It is. And not learning from your experiences. And then now you're mad at all men. It's not all men. It's the type of man that you're choosing. So when you learn from something, learn from that experience and do better. Maybe I want the average Joe Schmo over here now. I'm going to try these average dudes because these fine-ass dudes with all of these women after them ain't doing me a bit of good. You got to do better.
That's right.
The same thing goes for men. They quick to call a woman crazy, but y'all quick to go after the same type of woman. She got a badass body, but she spends all her time
keeping me. Take it from experience. It's something called child support. That badass body. Don't touch a big button and smile. Your ass go, rope.
Right. But for real, you're right. You go after the same type of women and then blame the women. It's not all women. You're doing the same shit. You ain't learning from your mistakes.
How about going to developing, knowing more about the person instead of just looking them sexualized? You know, develop some type of relationship.
About,
but that's another topic that we can go into relationship and courting, or however you want to call it. The young people, courting means dating or getting to know somebody.
They're
like courting. Wait a minute. Courting. Hold up.
All right, Poppy. He said courting. I ain't going to court. I ain't got no charges, bro. He said courting.
He's
like courting. My grandparents used to say courting. He's courting that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, because
oh,
that's what courting means today.
Oh,
but
you know
it,
what?
It is. Once you date those women because of the way they look and it doesn't work out time and time again, then you have to learn. Maybe I should learn to have more conversations. When you know better, you do better, but you learn from experience from people, you know? It's so many areas you can learn from. It's mostly from experience. And in order to learn from your experience, you got to reflect on it, right? A lot of people just like to tuck the bad experiences away and pretend they didn't happen. They don't allow themselves time to heal from past mistakes. They don't even or stop to evaluate why did that go wrong, you know, when we're talking about work or even with raising children. How can I didn't do a great job with my kids. Maybe I can help and do a better job with my grandchildren. You know, do people stop and reflect? If nobody is stopping and reflecting, there's absolutely no way you can learn because you're just moving. You're doing the same thing over and over again. So you got to stop and evaluate your experiences. That's the only way to learn. You know, we can talk about other people teaching you, but I can talk to you. Naz can talk to you. Your mentors can talk to you. Your girlfriends, your homeboys can talk to you until you blue in the face. But until you're ready to step away and go to your quiet space and reflect on life, you're going to keep doing the same shit over and over. And that's for real. That's how I ended up in my situation. Sorry. I just encourage everybody just to know that you can't depend on everybody else. And that's how I started to show, well, how do we teach them, right? Just to challenge our listeners, how do we help the youth? How do we insert ourselves in our community to help those who may not have any leaders, who may not have that foundation at home? How do we help them do better? But then as adults, we can't really rely on others to help us do better. We have to reflect and take ownership and responsibility for the things that we go through, reflect on them, and learn from them. And that's real life. I've done it. I'm not sitting here preaching to the choir. You know, I've done it. If you watch the old Diamond D shows, I talked about more current events and love on a high level and what if and the top 10 things of that because I wasn't opening and I wasn't being real, right? Although to a degree,
what?
I wasn't open. I wasn't
what?
Being transparent. No, I was being real, but I wasn't being transparent. I was never transparent. You got this. You got foundation.
Wow.
Diamond. You
wow.
did.
Wow. Hold up.
Yeah,
hold
I wasn't because.
You told me
you
wasn't being transparent?
No, I wasn't because I didn't talk about myself.
I've never heard you've ever said that ever on any platform, ever.
But
ever.
But it's the truth. I came across as transparent, but if you go back to the old shows, I never talked about my personal experiences. Everything
was based
on things that I read. Things were based on, that was it, things that I researched. It was never, and I had an opinion based in reality, but I always would say my disclaimer, this may or may not be how I really feel. And that allowed me to sometimes put out perspectives that wasn't really what I felt. But that was, that was me. That was where I was at that point in my life. But now I know better.
Wow.
And I know that I can't be as effective and as authentic if I'm not able to reflect on life and share my experiences. I don't want to just babble. I want to share. I can't do that if I'm scripted. I can't do that if I'm saying, hey, here's a topic, and I've done all my research online, and I'm not giving you any of Diamond. I'm not helping anybody.
Yeah.
I may be entertaining, but I'm not helping anybody. And that's where I'm
First
at
First of
now.
All, I got to applaud you right there. Let me tell y'all something. As long as I know Diamond, she's always been a professional. She's always carried herself. Yes, yeah, she's been entertaining, you know, to be a part of her journey, you know, as my one of my closest friends, and to support what she does and just to be around her. That's phenomenal when someone can tell you, be transparent about using their life experience to help empower other people, whether it's other women, other men, other relationship, and use this platform. That's powerful, because when you sharing that transparency and experience, you're not only becoming just being, you know, entertainer on this talk show or whatever, you're also empowering people. You're teaching something. You're helping people. And for her to do that, you know, she's always done it. I know that. But for her to say that to the listeners, that's powerful. You guys don't understand that. When you talk to the other people, you're sharing your experiences, sometimes people listen. They may not all listen. You never know who's listening. When they hear your experiences, they may get something from it and say, you know what? Okay, I can relate to that. I understand that. She's coming from a place I've been there before. And I got to salute you for that, because that's the route I've been going, and I'm just very proud of you said that out open, because Diamond, a lot of people need to hear that, especially our young black women or people, young women of color. They need to hear that right now. We don't have the luxury of being entitled. We don't have that luxury. Our women work so hard to take away the stereotypes. And when you have a woman who's using the platform responsibly, using her experiences to help you know better and do better, I applaud you. I mean, you applaud me a lot of times, things that I do. But you know, we got to recognize real. And people, y'all got to recognize real. If you have the opportunity to share your experiences to a young person, you know, you may get a group of people who say, you know, I don't give a damn about that shit. But at the end of the day, if you can get something from it, and whether you're a younger person, older, or the same age level, peer, whatever the case, listen to sometimes. Listen to what people say. Because when people say something, it may not be your communication way, how you communicate. You may not understand, but they're trying to tell you something. It will resonate in your head. If you ever hear sometimes your grandparents or older people start talking about their story, they're trying to teach you. It's not that they're rambling. They're trying to share an experience with
they
you
are.
That you
that's
get
right.
something from it. So that's why we have to listen to our older people. Listen to experience that he or she has lived long enough, and that goes back to the beautiful Mrs. Lee Tyson. She shared her stories. She shared what she was willing to accept and not accept as far as roles to take in the movies or shows. She shared the experience because she's trying to give you another story. Listen, you don't have to accept everything. Not all money's good money. For my people in the street, all money is not good
all
money.
All money ain't good money.
Trust me.
That's the truth.
So you got to learn
from
that.
That's the truth. I've seen a lot of downfalls, you know, because all money ain't good money. And and even thinking back from entertainment, Chrisette Michelle, she was on the rise, and not to bring him up, he said we're not going to do a political show, politics is a part of life. She was on the rise. She thanked for Trump, and she never made a comeback. She thanked for his inauguration 4 years ago. She never, and it was dead. I still listen to the music that she's made. She apologized. She got, but what she learned from that experience is all money ain't good money. So now she knows better, and perhaps she's doing better. Right? It all comes full circle, for real.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And she, I guess she learned better then. I'm sorry to say it.
Yeah,
oh,
she learned better, but it was sometimes it's too late, and that's what you don't want it to be. You don't want to take so much time. You don't want to waste so much time not learning. You've got to take accountability. You've got to take responsibility for yourself. I'm telling you, God straight kicked me. I don't want to say God kicked me down. He allowed me to be humbled in a way because I wasn't listening to him. And he was like, all right, you're not listening to me, so let me throw this mess up in the fall. You're not listening to me. You out here pretending to be somebody that you're not. You pretending to love somebody that you don't, all in the name of one. So let me give you a wake-up call so you can get it together, learn from it, and do better. And that's what happened to me. And here I am with Mr. Nav on the Unconcealed Talk Show. Unapologetically.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. You gave me some therapy today. I'm so proud of you. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
For having you.
I love our therapy sessions. Everybody, this is really a selfish therapy session that we just happened to record. And we're really grateful.
It is. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's really a therapy session for me. It allows me to think about the things that I'm talking about and look at my life and how I can apply it to my life and what can I do better. So then, yeah, this is our therapy session. And we're at that time, the 2-minute marker, you know. I mean, I don't know. We got about a minute still.
I'm going to be quick, though. I want to thank everybody, as always, for tuning in. I do want to ask that you just share if you enjoyed it. Hell, if you didn't enjoy it, just share it so that people know that we're out here, we're on the move. And then I also want to talk about the Black Lives Matter movement. I want to let you all know that the Black Lives Matter movement has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for 2021. And
yes,
the nomination papers... Actually, the nominator is Norwegian, so the nomination came from outside of the U.S., but congrats to the originators of Black Lives Matter, and we hope that they receive the Nobel Peace Prize.
And that is
very
phenomenal.
Very, very important.
That's phenomenal. Yes. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we love you. We appreciate it. Please share us. We will be coming to you with the video soon, so be on the lookout for that. Follow us on our social media networks, Instagram, Uncle Talk Show. You have the underscore between the words. Also, check us out on page. Again, we love everybody. You know, be unapologetically great in what you do whenever in life. We thank you and we love you. We'll see you guys next week.
See y'all later.
You're listening to one of New York's top syndicated shows, The Unconcealed Talk Show, featuring Mr. Nance and Diamond D.